610 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden asked my support reporters if he'd like to see Israel wind down the war with Hamas by the end of the year.
I want them to be focused on how to save civilian lives. Not stop going after Hamas, but be more careful.
The topic was a focus of today's meeting in Israel between National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Prime Minister Netanyahu. The Senate is putting off its holiday recess until at least Monday to negotiate a supplemental aid package to Israel and Ukraine.
The president has been in regular contact, regular touch, and he said this with congressional leaders from both sides, from the Republican and Democratic side of the leadership.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, the European Union has agreed to accelerate talks to admit Ukraine as a member. The process, however, still could take years. Jury deliberations resume tomorrow in Rudy Giuliani's defamation trial, the former New York City mayor being sued by two former Georgia poll workers for statement he made after the 2020 election. This is ABC News. It'll be a holiday travel season for the record books.
Brace for crowded airports and planes this holiday season. Industry trade group Airlines for America predicting over 39 million passengers will travel on U.S. airlines from December 20th to January 2nd, a 16% increase compared to last year. AAA expecting the busiest holiday ever for air travel. United and Delta each expecting around 9 million passengers during the peak travel season. American expecting nearly 12.7 million. Looking for a deal? Cheapest day to depart, December 19th. The least expensive day to return, December 28th. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Victory for Amazon in Europe. EU's top court siding with Amazon involving a case in which the company was accused by the European Commission of illegal tax benefits in the tax haven of Luxembourg. Today's decision means Amazon won't have to pay $270 million in back taxes. Retail sales rose 0.3% from October to November, beating expectations. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden plans to return to Milwaukee next Wednesday to talk about his economic policy plan and highlight recent small business gains in Wisconsin. It's not clear where the president will be or for how long. University of Wisconsin regents are changing course and voting for a deal they rejected Saturday. Among other things, the universities get employee pay raises in exchange for downsizing diversity offices. Amy Bogus changed her vote after assurances that diversity is still key to the system's strategic plan.
We will hold our feet to the fire on this, and by adopting this resolution, it does not reduce or eliminate that accountability for them or for us.
The deal also paves the way for a new engineering building on the Madison campus. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Packers take on the Buccaneers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had a run through practice outdoors, but missing was their most productive running back this season, A.J. Dillon. It turns out Dillon suffered a broken thumb on the last drive against the Giants. He revealed what happened to reporters.
Sometimes for broken thumbs, they have to go in there and put something in. Is that going to be required or no?
We're just taking it day by day. Just trying to see, how I'm feeling as it's going. And, I got hit, just routine play. played football, just, you know, that's how it goes. Got hit with a helmet, lined up the right way, it just aren't right enough, whatever. And then we called another run play after that.
Aaron Jones is practicing, but still not sure if he's ready to play on that sprained MCL on his left knee. Baseball, the Brewers made a trade with the Kansas City Royals. They picked up right-hander Taylor Clark and send right-hand pitcher Ryan Brady and infielder Cam Devaney to Kansas City. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your Hayward forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, slight chance of light rain. We'll see a low around 31 degrees. It'll be a little breezy out of the southwest. For your Friday, some rain with a high near 39. For Saturday, rain is likely, possibly mixing with snow, and a high again near 39 degrees. Currently 42 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news, stories, and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
You know, over the past 5-6 years here on Native Roots Radio, we've been talking about the homeless situation, the opioid situation, and then we had COVID, and a lot of our direction went to COVID. And not that we don't still have COVID now, as me being an example of just having it. We have a situation here in Minneapolis, and I think it's a situation we need to talk about because it's not just in Minneapolis, it's all over the country. And we have Ryan Salmon and Nikki here to talk about this and what's happening in Minneapolis. And I just want to give you guys a courageous peeny geegee for coming on and talking about this controversial and really hard thing to talk about, because there's so many layers to it. Welcome, you guys.
Bonjour, Robert. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, definitely. And Nikki, welcome. And let's talk a little bit about where we're at today and where we want to be, and maybe a little history. And we can maybe start out with a little history. I know I was talking to one of our regular guests, Robert Lilligren, that a few weeks ago, that it's been over 5 years with our Wall of Forgotten Natives was happening in Minneapolis, which was a huge encampment. And things don't seem to have moved much. And Nikki, what's your response on that?
I'll take the where do we want to be and let Ryan do all the hard work on the history, but just kidding. really, because there's so much, right, to really unpack. But I think the short answer is no, really nothing's been done since Wall of Forgotten Natives. And one of like our consistent messages, and it's when I say ours, it could be representing MUD, but really unified, consistent message from the Native community, from organizers at Nanankazi, our people here, our 40, a little shy of 40 different Native orgs that are here in the Twin Cities. It's that we want to have these larger issue centered before that they reach like a crisis or a headline status. And we know that the reason we talked about Wall of Forgotten Natives is because, right, it made for high visibility stories and headlines. And to some effect, that's what's happening again. And there hasn't been all the sustained efforts in between, because in addition to Nanakazi, there's 40 other encampments, right, in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And largely there are relatives in those encampments as well. So I think one of the things, even as we're talking directly about Nanakazi and the issues surrounding this particular encampment, which is one of the largest, we're really like, how do we keep pushing forward and centering, like, this is not a houseless issue.
Right.
This is, some have said it, yeah, it does have its roots in addiction. I think even digging deeper than that layer, it has its roots in trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And even addiction is a coping mechanism to trauma. So I think centering that is where we're at too.
Yeah, absolutely, Nikki. I agree 100% with that. You know, Ryan, we talk about our relatives, and we try to help our relatives, and sometimes it's hard to because of a lot of things. And I think, like Nikki said, that deep down there's serious trauma going on that we need to meet people where they're at. And that's really, really hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our focus with MUD is, you know, providing safety and security to our relatives. You know, I want people to know that our hearts are in pain over this. We have a subcommittee that meets bi-weekly, and we continue to do our work, you know, surrounding opioids and homelessness here in the Twin Cities. You know, with that being said, we are on the cusp of having good foundational values in place to solve those short-term, mid-term, and long-term navigational settings, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. That it's just amazing that we are still talking about this. And again, I don't want to put pressure on you and Nikki and the people that are working on working on this, because it's a national thing. But what's important to remember is that we do have people like you and Ryan, and I think we talked about Adam too, that are boots on the ground that are trying to figure this out in a good way. And that's why I think it's important, one, to have you guys on the show and speak your truth, but also to let everybody out there know that we aren't turning on our people. We're trying to figure out what's the best way for people that maybe aren't in that situation where they're thinking what's in the best way for themselves. So it's really, really hard.
And that's, I mean, you said it right there, Robert. I think one of our elders had said, right, trauma stunts our ability to think like future minded, right? So, I mean, and we used to be really good at that as a people. I would say that when we're healed, we are still very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will hold and only say this as Nikki, not Mud, but my critique on the larger systems, dominant culture systems, are that they are not future minded, right? That's how we get into issues of like a Western reductionist system got us in 500 years what, you know, had been caretaken in thousands and thousands and maybe even millions of years, and they call that progress. So I would say that really is hard. You're right, it is hard to do. And I think one of the things that we also are pretty collective in voice to say to the powers that be, resource our people to do that, because the systems that you have, they treat symptoms, right?
Right.
Oh, access to education. Oh, you know, and here's the wand and the whack-a-mole. Job placements, free housing, right?
Right.
And then even the summer, it was late summer, the chief of police of Minneapolis met with Mudd and was like, but we don't know what to do. These things aren't working. Mm-hmm. They're like, yes, and they're not going to, right? By and large, they'll work for some. So again, understanding that these are issues caused by when, right, we say boarding schools, what happened to my grandparents' generation, it disrupted the transmission of cultural teachings, knowledge, values, knowing, having collective relationships, love, self-esteem. And I think a lot of reasons, like my cousin, my sister cousin was at that and was at Nenenkazi earlier. And she said, well, at least here, like, I'm not a pariah and people care, seem to care about me and my comings and goings. And so I think that idea of community and love is so important. And I'm not promoting encampments for that purpose. I'm saying people are looking for them. So we as community leaders and members, we need to be able to do that. And we do it well. But when we're not resourced to do it, right?
You're right.
Just trying to plug and play into systems, you'll have the same a lot of the same outcomes. So I know everyone's like, systems change, yay. No, for real, systems right. change is needed here. Or, and I think one thing that Ryan's talked about, and I'm almost done on this tangent, but Ryan has talked about, camp organizers have talked about going back to Wall of Forgotten Natives. Think about the money expended by the city on every encampment enclosure. I think they ballparked it at 200,000 or so, how many they close every year. How much money was dropped in that navigation center after Wall of Forgotten Natives? It was like, what, something like 50,000 a person? And what was the long-term impact? So we're asking, instead of resourcing things like that, if you were to resource efforts that are co-collaborated with, like, our people doing it, leading it, to create program systems facilities, yeah, you would see a different outcome.
Hey, let's take a quick break and let's talk about this. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're talking about our encampments here in the Twin Cities. We'll be right back.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Oik, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yes, they do great work for our people in Minneapolis and the Twin Cities and surrounding states. We really appreciate their support all these years. Hey, we are talking a really pretty rough subject here, but it's also the big elephant in the in the room when it comes to the cities and how our elders are our relatives are being treated and how we can help and how powerless sometimes we feel. And we're talking real things here, and we have Ryan Salmon here. And Ryan, you know, we left off in the last segment, Nikki, talking about funding. And, you know, we talk about a lot here on Native Roots Radio about, you know, people like land acknowledgments from us, you know, so they can feel better. I think throwing money at a bad idea, what's proven a bad idea, can be detrimental because people throw their arms up and said, hey, we've tried to do this. What are your thoughts on this money and where it should go?
Well, so many times money is thrown out from city, state, county, and it's not directed into our community. We have organizations here, and MUD represents approximately 35 different organizations throughout the Twin Cities. And we are currently doing work in specifically homeless and opioids, and we aren't getting the dollars sent to our organizations. You know, and then the city comes back and says, hey, why didn't any of your organizations apply for or request for these monies? Well, give us money that we can actually, it's tangible, that we can actually do work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the city decides to work with our organizations in those request processes and designs them to be specifically for our Native communities, that's when we're going to actually start to get traction, be able to do the work that we already do.
Nikki, yeah, definitely, Ryan. Nikki, let's talk a little bit about that, because I feel like, you know, we talked a little bit about the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and there was a lot of money being shifted around and put around, but how much did the community have a say in that, and how much do we need a say in it now?
I think the performative look is that we had to say, but I think in the real experience, and I think it's one of the things that's like, whether it's city, state, fed, whatever, there's always usually restrictions on those funds, which that is like a paternalistic, and we'll just say white supremacist construct of, again, we know better than you do of how these funds should be accounted for and expended. But then you look at historically, most of the institutions that have been around for a couple hundred years, they had runways, they had time to like grow, experiment, adapt, right? I don't know why that's not afforded to people of color, why that's not afforded to Native communities. But again, there's this whole systemic issue. And I think what needs to be done is not even like to, I would even say too, Ryan, like, yes, change the RFP process, change, if you say it's, even in the world of philanthropy, trust-based, then have it be trust-based, right? I heard somewhere it's like you can't get to trust without relationships. So do our governmental systems, does philanthropy, does other nonprofit sector have relationships with us, right? Like truly and meaningful ones, not where they're like, hey, have a program. Could you help us get your people to come to the meeting so they can hear how our programs can benefit them? Yeah. That's usually the nature of it. So wow. I would say also when you brought up somewhere else, Robert, COVID,
yeah.
When that's a perfect example of how governmental system, state, fed, county, city, they can move money real quick,
mm-hmm.
real quick when there's an issue that impacts them. So right. What we're saying is we know that could be done here. It could have been done. It can be done. It should be done.
Absolutely, Nikki, and I'm a former high school teacher, and I was on the parent committee in the St. Paul Public School District, and you know, we had 56% of our students graduating on time. Now, to what you're saying, I, as an educator, going, this is a red alert. Why aren't we doing something about this? And if this was our white community, it'd be in the news every day, and there would be funds, and there would be things happening. But as just a second thought, you're doing good. You're doing a lot better than you did 20 years ago or 100 years ago. And that's a rationale of keep prodding away at a disadvantage, because we know education is the big equalizer. And I think that's what we try to do here. And I know I just went on a tangent, but I think they're all tied together.
Quickly to say they're tied together, but even one thing that we've shared in conversations with each other, meaning Native community, even from our varying perspectives on this, the particular encampment enclosure timing and process, education is important. And you're right, Robert, that would have been like, that there would have been a plan put behind that had it been another community. But I would say, I have people in my very close family, I know all of us do, that have higher education, right? Have the credentials next to their name and still are addicted to meth and heroin, fentanyl, still experience it because it is a place, it's a spiritual route. And I think the uniqueness of this, and when we're trying to convey this to the city, to the state, to all these other partners, what works in a different community can't just be copy and pasted onto us. That's why we're asking for the agency and control to make, like, to have collaborations and decisions that are more than us just being there, leading them and giving suggestions back to these external partners. Because again, those things don't work because you have a unique situation where an entire generation in a whole continent, not even just right the US, look at our First Nations relatives north of the Medicine Line, how residential schools impacted them. Mm-hmm. Every single person, whether you had the experience directly of abuse or not, meaning our grandparents, or in my generation, our grandparents, this is what it's done. And so there's no surprise that we're 33 times more likely to OD in Minnesota if you're Native. It's no surprise that we're less than 2% or so of the total population, about 35% of the houselessness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these things are not a surprise. And they're also not, like, the origin isn't something that we did. And right. So I think we got to get the runway and the agency and the funds to get ourselves out of it, because even education, Robert, isn't going to do it.
Right. Well, and then we're high in incarceration and all those things that you don't want to be up there. But I guess I was just trying to use education, too, as an example. And it was a really good point that some of our relatives with degrees after their name are struggling just as much, because it's, you know, I don't want to use the word war, but it's like, it seems like it's a spiritual war, and it always has been in the last 500 years.
You know, far as a spiritual war, I believe that you walk over to the encampment and you feel a difference in presence, right? Just a couple of weeks ago, we had women go over there and sing a healing song. And all of a sudden, that spirituality all of a sudden changed. Right? People woke up. People were drawn to that healing song, right? And that's just a testimony of what our cultural and spiritual connection can do to assist in this epidemic.
Yeah, wow. That's powerful words. That's really powerful, Nikki. I just... you know, I think one of the things I'd like to talk about in the next segment, too, is a call of action for our listeners out there, too. I feel like here in St. Paul, powerless sometimes what's going on in Minneapolis, and I'm sure vice versa, because we all have our issues, but we're all urban Indians and all Native Americans that are related, and we need a call of action and need to support what you guys are doing and trying to do, because it's a heavy lift, Nikki.
Yeah. And I think, call to action too for general public, because there's different ways that everyone, if you think about it, around the issue should be interacting. And for some, it might be education, and including our people too, because I...
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden asked by support reporters if he'd like to see Israel wind down the war with Hamas by the end of the year.
I want them to be focused on how to save civilian lives. Not stop going after Hamas, but be more careful.
The topic was a focus of today's meeting in Israel between National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Prime Minister Netanyahu. The Senate is putting off its holiday recess until at least Monday to negotiate a supplemental aid package to Israel and Ukraine.
The president has been in regular touch, and he said this, with congressional leaders from both sides, from the Republican and Democratic side of the leadership.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, the European Union has agreed to accelerate talks to admit Ukraine as a member. The process, however, still could take years. Jury deliberations resume tomorrow in Rudy Giuliani's defamation trial, the former New York City mayor being sued by two former Georgia poll workers for statement he made after the 2020 election. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's biggest business lobbying group is suing the state Justice Department over an open records request. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce asked for records between the Justice Department and the law firm they hired to go after PFAS manufacturers in March of 2022. They finally heard back in September of this year that the request had been denied. The department's policy says it should take about 10 days to decide whether or not a records request should be granted. All of Wisconsin's U.S. House Republicans voted for the impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. The vote merely extends the House investigation into President Biden. It doesn't impeach him or remove him from office. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
breaking
milk
breast. Breaking, breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds increasing in the overnight, lows in the lower 30s. Rain developing as we get closer to sunrise, but the better chance of rain is going to be into Friday, especially Friday afternoon. High temperatures warming up into the lower 40s. Rain looking likely Friday night. Right now it's 37.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have like a heavy duty story going here on Native Roots Radio today. And I really appreciate our guests coming in and explaining to me what's going on and explaining to our listeners who are well versed in our struggles and our victories. But I in the excitement of having you guys on, I never really explained. Ryan, would you mind explaining what MUD is and how that directs affects our community and what you guys do?
Absolutely. MUD, which is the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, we are a collaborative of approximately 35 different Native-led organizations across the Twin Cities. Within that, MUD has seven standing committees that allow us to take a deeper dive into the important areas of focus for our community. Those subcommittees focus on education, family preservation, health and wellness, public safety, opioid and unsheltered relatives, also employment, economic development, and art and culture. You know, and within those committees, those are the places that a lot of our work and collaboration happens. And so I urge people, you know, our relatives, if you fit into one of those committees or just want to learn more, please reach out. Let's engage. Let's do this good work together.
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, Nikki, let's talk. One of the things I'd really, because we're down to a last segment with you guys, one of the things I really want to understand and have our listeners know, what do we need to know? What is the big picture? Because, you know, as Haley was saying earlier to us during the break, was that we hear a lot of misinformation out there from people that have a lot of followers out there on TikTok and social media, and they're not boots on the ground. So I want you to be able to explain to us, as a person that's boots on the ground with your organization, what is going on and what do we really need to know, and what's the real story in the overview?
Robert, and I think even just to think about like the boots on the ground, a lot of those are some of the camp organizers, some of the orgs within MUD that Ryan just talked about, like Division of Indian Work. Luis Mattson couldn't be on this chat with us today, but she's been really instrumental too in response. And so her organization, right, has provided a lot of the like care packages. There's others that are visiting our relatives and supporting them with, you know, essential supplies, having conversations, holding talking circles with our relatives that are there to talk about some of these issues. And for some of them, it's the first time that they've even been heard. So I feel like there's a lot of unpublicized, kind of ad hoc a bit, outreach and work and stuff that's being done just because our literal relatives are there, right? Mm-hmm. We're all related, but there's also our blood relatives are there. People we love on and care about in our community are there. So I would just say, I think the biggest kind of point of misinformation seems like it comes from both within our community, to be frank, and then also then that gets communicated externally. And there's a lot of, you know, folks I was saying like to be weekend warriors that are general public, well-intended, want to protest for us, want to show up in that way. But there's so many other ways that they could be showing up for us that involve a much more intentional commitment. It involves an education on what the issues are. You can't just see a social media post and then react and say, yep, we're coming to back you up, because you don't know if that request is like what represented. Does it just represent one voice, one segment? How widespread is that sentiment or course of action? So I think our request would be general public on whether it's the issue of the encampment for others. Like in the past, we've talked about Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. There's other issues, right? Make sure you do your due diligence and, yeah. and spend some time trying to hear holistically more about the issue and not just taking one thread or one voice and running with it. And I would say for the same for our people that might even be having a closer affinity for what's happening there. Also make sure you're doing that due diligence, because I think one of the misrepresentations that, I'll be honest, MUD hasn't really wanted to, thought it was important to correct in a public way, but just since we have a voice here, Robert and Chimaguetch, mm-hmm. just to say that we're not in favor of closing the encampment without any supports or discussions and plans. And this is not a one-off issue for us. So this then becomes, and for the future, how serious are we all the different stakeholders on the ground, organizers, government, agencies, orgs like ours that are in the mix, like how serious are we about like sticking with this in a longer term way and not waiting till the next camp encampment or crisis happens. I think that's the call to action for everyone. It's really easy to like be a weekend warrior mm-hmm. or be a keyboard warrior too.
Right.
But what are you doing for people to show up? And I think that's the call to action. And to know that as Native people, we know unhealed people do unhealed things,
right.
but also let's live the standards that our ancestors had. I know for me, like my grandparents had, the standard of conduct is, you know, it doesn't mean you just kumbaya everything. We need to have difficult and challenging conversations, but there is a cultural protocol and spiritual way to do that in a good way. So I just call us to say, let's do that with each other, because we need to care about each other, because the systems often don't.
Exactly. And what do you see, like for me, to get daily information or hourly or weekly, how does somebody like me log into that as a person that wants to disseminate news about correct news about things that are happening in our community? Would it be following you? Would it be going to MUD? How do I decipher the players against the pretenders?
Ryan might have, some thoughts, but let's let Ryan take that one.
Yeah. You know what, Robert, that's a great question. And we're continuously trying to improve that communication. I know following us on social media, we share what we're doing on a daily and weekly basis. Right. But connect with our organizations. Right. Build that relationship. Like organizations like NACD, like the Minneapolis Indian Center, DIW, Tawahe. There's numerous organizations that would welcome that relationship and support.
Wow. And then, Nikki, what are your thoughts on that?
I was just thinking that to know in real time is hard. So I do think a lot of it is relational, because, right, the fast-paced changing nature, and we're all doers of the work. And again, if there were better resources given, there could be resources that could keep better communications, like this is an amazing resource of information, right? I have relatives all over the state that listen and watch this. I don't know if we call it a podcast, interview, whatever this is, Robert, like it's a great way to get information out, but we need more, right? More channels that are unfiltered and aren't just taking sound bites. Which we know like general media kind of has to, because there's so much going on. But I think that would be one way. And I think just having, I think, a patience to know that maybe we can't have information that quick every day. unless there's planning behind it, so that just some patience and, again, really delving into the relationship side of it, like Ryan said.
Yeah, well, and whatever we can do here in Native Roots Radio, I know Haley and I have talked about, we have regular guests. Maybe we can get you guys do a segment once a week or once every couple of weeks and give us an update, because that would be really important for our listeners. And we really like to follow through on our leaders and on our issues here in the Twin Cities and all of Turtle Island. So I throw that out to you guys as an open door way for us here on Native Roots Radio to speak the truth. And so I just throw that out to you, because this has been, we have a lot of fun on the show, but we also talk about serious issues, and this has been a serious issue. And I've learned so much because, again, we have to figure out where our place is and everything, you know. For a long time, I didn't want to speak for our community because I felt like I didn't have a voice, because I don't know the ins and outs and everything. And I think that's why we haven't really talked a lot about this issue here on Native Roots Radio. And I'm really happy that you guys are able to come in here and speak your truth, but also let us know as a community what we can do and what's going on with our people. And some of the things that I'm going to leave with is that we need to have leaders like you guys and Mud to speak for our people in a sense of how funds are being spent. And I think that's one of the big things that I'll leave with today too. So you guys, that was a pause there. I just was wondering, we got like a minute left. How can people, where are you guys? Where is there a website, Facebook page? How can our listeners out there all over the country figure out how to get this information and support you guys?
Mud, MN.org is going to be our website. And then you can go onto social media and search for Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Facebook page.
Mud community, if it's helpful, yeah, if you're Googling, it's MUID, or not Googling, but search bar, MUID community page.
You guys, thank you so much for stopping in, and I really, really appreciate this, and hopefully we can get more updates. We're on 5 days a week, and we'd love to squeeze some room in for you guys specifically. So thank you so much, Big Peeny Gigi, for being on today.
Thank you.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
As we gear up for the holiday season, let's prioritize the safety of our community, especially our cherished elders and loved ones. As you plan your holiday gatherings, remember, whether you're young or in good health, you could still unknowingly spread COVID-19. The key to a safer celebration is getting vaccinated. The newest vaccines are authorized, effective against current variants, and FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. So here's the call to action. Be a vaccinative. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Getting vaccinated before your holiday gatherings is a powerful way to ensure a safer and happier time for everyone. Let's honor our elders by preserving their wisdom and stories for generations to come. So be a vaccinative this holiday season. Find more information, including clinics with free vaccines, at vaccines.gov.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I did a howl while he's chewing on
a bone.
No, a leaf.
Oh,
our wolves are vegan.
Nice.
Hey, I want to introduce Wendy, my awesome, beautiful wife, and Wendy's been on for over 7 years of Native Roots Radio, and we've been learning so much over the years. I know I have about her sacred animals, and it's always great to have you on, Wen.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state levels. And it's always my pleasure to do that. So I just got my update in the mail today, Robert. Ooh. It came. It's called All Animals,
yes.
And it's the update from the Humane Society of the United States, and it's marked winter of 2024.
Ooh.
And my hero is on the cover.
Oh,
who is that? Jane Goodall.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, so Jane Goodall, she's awesome. And I've been following her through her career.
I got you
over the
autograph
years.
Book.
I know. So she went into the forests of Tanzania, Africa, and she studied wild chimpanzees, and she's a PhD DBE, and she's the founder of the Jane Goodall Institute and the United Nations Messenger of Peace. So she's done great work through her career, so I just wanted to tell you that. And I get this update because I donate to the Humane Society of the United States, and I'm also a humane policy volunteer leader. And they just came up with their 2023 reflections on all the good stuff that they did in 2023.
Wow.
And there's so much stuff we're not even going to be able to get it through, but I just wanted to talk about a couple of the real highlights.
Yeah.
And some of the things that me and my counterparts in the Humane Society of the United States, we went and we talked to our legislators about. Yeah, so it's really fun. Like when we would go meet our legislators, our House representatives, our city council members to get stuff done, and then you see it in the magazine as a 2023 reflection of what past and what good work the Humane Society of the United States did.
Yes.
Yeah, and continue to do. But I just want to remind everyone that the Humane Society of the United States does not adopt out any dogs or cats, or we're not involved in that. What we're involved in is legislation. So I'm a volunteer lobbyist for them, and that's what I do. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to become a volunteer leader, we used to be called council members,
mm-hmm.
but now we're called humane policy volunteer leaders.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big, name,
yep.
Humane
Title.
Policy volunteer leader. And we had to put the L at the end, or else we would have been humane HPV, which is
Oh.
Human papillomavirus. So
yeah, maybe not that.
So they had to put the leader at the end. So
yeah.
We got to get t-shirts.
But anyway, let's get here. Let's go here. We're going to reflect on 2023 and what all the great things that the Humane Society of the United States did. So we have, I don't know this company and I'm really surprised about it, but with our help, and when I say our help, that's the Humane Society of the United States, Mondelez International, they are the makers of Oreos, Triscuits, and more. Mm-hmm. They will only use cage-free eggs by 2025. That's huge.
And yeah. Oreos are vegan. Oreos. They don't even use that.
Yeah. The Oreos do not use the eggs. They are vegan. But really, this company, Mondelez International, they operate in 80 countries. Oh. That's how big they are. So going cage-free is huge. Just huge. So that's great. And they give you like a little paragraph underneath about all the details, but I'm not going to have time to do that. So In May, the United States Supreme Court upheld California's Proposition 12, which requires that mother pigs, egg-laying hens, and calves raised for veal in the state are not cruelty-confined.
God, that's a big thing.
The law also bans the in-state sale of pork, eggs, and veal produced via extreme confinement. So California doesn't even allow those meat and egg to come into their state if those animals were kept in confined cages. So that's, that's Proposition 12 is awesome. And we had to call our state senators about that. So we worked on that. Mm-hmm. 310 veterinary professionals and students volunteered 24,640 hours to care for 8,492 animals through their rural area veterinary service program. So that's a lot of hours, a lot of volunteers, and a lot of animals that really, benefited from this. Mm-hmm. Five students received $10,000 scholarships from the Humane Society Veterinarian Medical Association. That's really great. Let's see what else. I don't want to read every single one, but I want to read the ones that I'm really
jazzed about.
Well, here's one. This is really good too. Their animal rescue team responded to 3,495 animal cruelty complaints, assisted law enforcement with cases involving more than 65 different species, including dogs, cats, goats, snakes, kangaroos, ferrets, and more, and traveled to 12 states and 2 countries this year.
That's huge.
Yeah. To help with animal cruelty cases.
Let me get applause on that.
Yeah, right?
Haley, don't you have an applause one on yours too?
I don't think I do yet. I'll have to get a different one so they sound different.
Yeah, get a clappy one.
Okay. A lot of people don't know, but the dog meat trade in Korea is still around. Yeah. But 198 dogs were rescued from Korea meat farms this year alone by the Humane Society International.
Jeez.
Yeah, those are a decade-long fight in the United States to end the private possession of big cats at the federal level ended when Public Safety Act went into effect in June. We went and talked also about that one. Do you remember that?
God, I remember you and I driving to one of those damn places.
Yep.
Up northern Minnesota, not even that far away.
Yep, where people kept those big cats. I know.
Outdoors. Mm-hmm. Take a picture with them.
Yep.
Let me make money off these poor
things. And the animal goes back in the cage with no enrichment. Sits there all day until the next person comes and takes a picture with them. Or this is just people who get these big cats and keep them in their house as like a pet. And then...
mauled.
Then they get too big and
they
can't handle it. And then the animal,
eats them.
Exactly. But usually people don't even realize.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.